still dream of organ room. I wake up crying, you're making rain.
The Dogs of Desire is the Albany Symphony Orchestra's 18-member chamber ensemble. They have they perform all new music from some of America's most creative up-and-coming living composers. At this year's American Music Festival, the Dogs, as they are often affectionately called, certainly by us, will perform a cabaret evening with Theo Bleckman and Sleeping Giant. We'll be joined by members of Sleeping Giant later. Right now, we're joined by jazz singer and new music composer, the Grammy Award-nominated Theo Bleckman.
The American Music Festival concert he'll perform in tomorrow night features arrangements of songs by composers from Charles Ives to Kate Bush, plus great new works by six members of Sleeping Giant.
Theo Bleckman's highly acclaimed Hello Earth, the music of Kate Bush, was released in 2012. 2013 saw the release of Mother Goose Melodies, a return to Bleckman's uniquely interpretive collaborations with Fumio Yasada. Bleckman's recent accolades include, but not limited to, NPR's 2012 Top 10 Jazz Albums of the Year, Top 5 Spots in 2013-2014 Downbeat Critics Poll for Best Male Vocalist. In 2010, Bleckman received the prestigious Jazz Echo Award, and also...
Oh, my goodness!
Just like Joe!
He appeared on The Late Show with David Letterman, with Laurie Anderson. Theo... I was on the show, lucky enough, last night. Theo Bleckman, welcome to the roundtable. My God, we love your work. We love that you're here. And it's just great that we get to meet you and have you tell us about these incredible things you do.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here in this beautiful building with a beautiful vista, which unfortunately people on the radio can't see.
No, but I think it makes us all perform better when we have these windows and these gorgeous views.
Trees.
And such talent at our fingertips. So let us talk a little bit about your career and how, well, before we get specifically into that, what brings you here of the opportunity that you get in doing this particular performance?
Well, I was approached by Sleeping Giant to collaborate and be the soloist on an evening of music, of a variety of music that we choose together, that they choose themselves. And so we came up with this wild set list of songs that that they wrote. I wrote a piece. There's a Kate Bush piece, like you said, some Charles Ives adaptations. So it's all over the place in a good way. So if you don't like one piece, you just wait 2 minutes and the next piece you might like because it's completely different.
But you like it to be all over the place.
It seems
to me you enjoy that.
Yes.
Eclectic nature.
It's literally like 19 or 20 songs. So as Theo said, it's really true that, you know, if you don't like one for two, it's over in 2 minutes and there's something entirely different. And it runs the complete gambit from really pop-infused ballads to really cool, weird Charles Ivesian sorts of things.
I was going to say from the melodic to the Charles Ives. Could we say that?
Right. But some of the Charles Ives is really beautiful. It's really melodic. And Theo's done a lot of Charles Ives and I think made a recording of Charles Ives.
I did.
Really exciting. So it's a very singular, incredibly hip, one-of-a-kind kind of evening. We were talking about how you describe it, and someone said the bad C word, the word cabaret, which is a word that Theo doesn't really like. But the way we were talking about it earlier, it's a Liederabend, it's a song evening. But it's like a 2015 song evening. So it's a whole evening of Theo's magic. He does electronics on some of the pieces with the instruments where he loops his voice, it repeats upon itself. And it's just a fascinating evening of beautiful, beautiful music tomorrow night at 7:30 here at MPAC.
So Theo, how did you come to your present situation? How did you come to, you know, be what you are today?
My background is in jazz. I study jazz, and my time feel and my phrasing, it comes from jazz. But I also studied vocal technique, not in a classical way, but in a very sort of neutral way, if you want to say. And so I always enjoy sort of pushing into other areas of music that I'm not supposed to be in, but still make good music out of it, not be a hack in you know, I wouldn't dare to sing opera, for example. That would be preposterous, unless it would make musical sense at some point. But and I enjoy very much working with composers, which I started very early on, even when I was a young jazz singer. I liked singing instrumental music as well as original compositions that I collaborated on with jazz composers.
So you can sing, for example, we could take an instrument, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you could sing that instrument?
Yeah.
So like flugelhorn?
Mm-hmm. Since we just talked about that.
You could sing flugelhorn. That's great. I'm a political scientist of sorts. So let me ask you a question. Does your singing ever get political?
I mean, being an artist, I guess, is political in itself.
Sure.
But I've done a program of a lot of Hans Eisler and Bertolt Brecht, which in itself, the lyrics make it more political than music. Of course, Eisler was a socialist, but I think you can't help but be involved in politics if you're an artist. You just are.
I'm sorry.
You mentioned, to give a little context, Theo, and I only learned this recently, is born and raised in Germany.
Yes.
In Dortmund, and only came to New York at the age of 23. And yet I didn't know that because he's so acclimated to New York and he's such a big figure in the New York jazz and new music scene. So in the city, you know, he's constantly heard and admired and loved. So we're so excited that he was able to spend a week up here with us doing this very unique program, really tailored to him and his gifts and his particular specialties.
How do you decide what's going to be next? Take on a project. Like, I was just reading sort of the background to a work you did called Fidget.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's fascinating.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many aspects to that are fascinating, which you can briefly talk about.
But yeah.
I just, in a context, while answering that question of how you choose what you choose.
Well, some of it I create myself. Projects I create myself, like the Kate Bush or the Charles Ives in collaboration with Kneebody, are things that sort of come from my side. And then other things come to me, and I choose which ones I want to be involved in, like this project. I knew this was going to be fun. I like the people, which is very important. All the ingredients seemed right. That doesn't necessarily make it right in the end, but in this case it did. So it's a combination, and it's not a big master plan of, now this would be a good career move, and now I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to get this award. It's really very instinctual and things.
No, I meant artistically, though.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a point where something comes to you and says, "Oh, okay, I can do something with this. This is something that will challenge me that I'm interested in."
It has to challenge me, and it also has to be, like David just said, it's in a way tailored to me, so that I'm not just executing somebody else's vision completely, but that we meet halfway in between. If I'm collaborating with another composer,
Does your throat is your instrument, right?
Yes.
How do you take care of it?
I think the biggest thing for a singer is to not go crazy psychologically, because you can go really crazy inside your head thinking that if I don't have the right tee, if I don't have my scarf with me, if I don't warm up for 2 hours before this gig with this tape and with in this room with the right piano, and if the piano's out of tune, I can't really warm up. That kind of stuff really just that perpetuates a psychosis that I see in a lot of singers.
And your throat tightens up when that happens, right?
Absolutely. The voice is very, very linked to the psyche and to the soul. And so if I'm a calm human being in that sense, I can deal. And then, of course, you have to take care of it by practicing and by not getting a cold. And if you have a cold, then you have to see your doctor and get steroids or whatever it is. But before that, I think the psychological aspect is really important.
You seem calm. You seem like one centered cat.
Because I didn't have really good coffee yet.
Okay. All right. It's as simple as that.
We can fix that.
I mean, normally you can be more manic.
No, I'm not.
Okay. No, you seem like a very calm presence.
I had a question about how much writing you do. I mean, how much composing you do. Because you do your own songs.
Yes.
There's a beautiful song of yours on the program.
I do a lot of writing right now because I'm working on a record of my own compositions right now. So I'm in the midst of it. I just finished a commission from American Composers Orchestra, which I performed with a full orchestra.
I heard it was great.
Oh, good.
It did.
That's thank you.
Now we've all heard that it's great.
I heard
that
it was great.
Too long.
It must have been
everyone
great.
Has heard that it's great.
It must have been great.
So I'm doing a lot of it right now, a lot of it, and also lyric writing.
I was really struck by something that you said a moment ago, and it just has stuck now in my head, and I can't get it out, so I will ask you a question about it, which is, you said, you used a phrase that I found really compelling, music that I'm not supposed to do.
Yeah.
What do you consider music that you're not supposed to do, and what does that mean? Because you're an artist, you can do whatever the hell you want, can't you?
So you think, yeah, and I am. That's what right. I'm taking that. I'm claiming that freedom for myself. But people will say, "Well, his Ives recording, he's not a classical singer. He shouldn't be touching that, or he shouldn't be doing Kate Bush." And I've gotten some flack from the hardcore Kate Bush fans, you know, for that record. You shouldn't be messing with these perfect arrangements and songs, because I completely rearranged her music.
Tell us just a little about Kate Bush for the listeners who may not know about her.
And also about jazz, too, because, I mean, isn't that the nature of jazz, to reinterpret and...
Exactly. That's the reason why I was drawn to jazz in the first place, is that sense of pioneering and irreverence. And now it's become sort of this holy... You can't, you know, you must sing standards as a jazz singer only, and that's not enough for me.
David's question about Kate Bush.
Kate Bush, yes, Kate Bush is still a phenomenal pop icon from Great Britain. She became very, very popular in the late 70s with her first album, Wuthering Heights, The Kick Inside. Wuthering Heights being her first hit. She was a singer with an incredible range, and she wrote all of her own material. Her sources for lyrics were very, very strange. She included Irish and English myths in her lyrics. She used Emily Brontë's Wuthering Heights as a foundation for her first big hit. She had a very high voice, so it was an acquired taste for a lot of people. And then she became quite known in the 80s. Not so much in the States, but in Europe and in Australia.
She was a mega top 40 kind of singer.
Big deal. Yeah. Right.
She was also the first singer who incorporated dance and performance and mime into her stage shows, which at that time was not really common. Now everybody's dancing and has 5 backup dancers and 3,000 costumes. Sure. But when she came up, she developed this, and Kate Bush was the person for which the lavalier microphone was developed with a coat hanger, because she wanted to dance and sing at the same time and not hold a microphone. She studied mime and dance, and so she was very physical and very into other expressions of art.
So what has been your personal interaction with her?
None.
So that I find fascinating. So
you made a whole album of her music.
I did.
But would that sully the waters for you if you were to meet and work with her? Would that change your interpretation? I mean, is that the concern, perhaps?
No. So the project came about because in 2005, she came out with a beautiful double album called Ariel. And I listened to it and I thought, wow, this is really good today.
Yeah.
And so I listened back to her old records, which I knew quite well. And I realized how good these songs were compositionally and how good those lyrics were. And so I started this project where I took her material and treated her as a composer. Not as the pop artist, but as a composer, took that material like a jazz person would and rearranged it for a smaller ensemble. The other interesting thing about Kate Bush, and I don't want to talk about Kate Bush for 2 hours because I could easily, but the thing was, at the time when I started this project, there was only...
We have to go at 12. So
there was only the recordings that she had done, because she didn't perform. She hadn't performed in, you know, 2 decades. So there were only these singular versions of these songs, and I wanted to contribute something new to the catalog.
Well, it is, it's amazing that we have this opportunity to hear this incredible performance. It's tomorrow night. It's at 7:30. And you're going to be performing with the Dogs of Desire, and we're going to be talking to some of the performers in just
some of the composers,
the composers from Sleeping Giant, in just a moment. Theo Bleckman, what a great pleasure to meet and talk with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for
being
having
with
me,
us, and have a wonderful time.
Yeah, thanks. I look forward to tomorrow.
Great pleasure. You're listening to the Roundtable's live broadcast from MPAC for the Albany Symphony Orchestra's American Music Festival. You can find out more information by going to albanysymphony.com. Albanysymphony.com. Albanysymphony.com/American Music Festival will tell you exactly what you need to know for the festival that begins tonight and runs through Saturday night. Albanysymphony.com. You're listening to the Roundtable on WAMC.